I may be right. Did you write that? Uh-huh. We got some talented people. Oh, whoa, whoa. Okay, let me take about 3 seconds to give announcements. I don't have any. So if you've got a bulletin, read them, okay? So that's that. You know, I was talking about Joe Voss. A couple of weeks ago, I came in. They were in the kitchen area, and we were coming to the second service. They'd already had the first service. And I walked in. I saw him across the room, and he come walking across the room. And, of course, you know, he's got his jacket on. And he walks up to me, doesn't say a word, doesn't stick his hand out, just comes up to me, and he just grabbed me by the face like that, and he kisses one cheek, and he kisses the other cheek. A man kissed me. And I'm thinking, did you just put a hit on me? I mean, wow. Okay, we just got done celebrating Christmas, the birth of little baby Jesus in the manger, the star in the east, the wise men and their gifts, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, take it back Saturday, and thank God it's over Sunday. Amen. And of course, we know the greatest gift of all was the gift of love that God demonstrated by giving us his son so that we might spend eternity with him. But this morning, I'm going to talk about a different gift. I'm going to talk about another kind of gift. You know, in the first service, I didn't realize how short I was until I stood behind this thing. This thing, I'm like, and I could have sworn I was taller than, does that thing fold? Now I feel better. Now, yeah. Now what? I feel much better. I thought maybe you could get on your knees so I could, like, stand on your back. Marshall said something about putting some Bibles up here that I could stand on. I guess I thought I was taller than Joe Voss. They said in my mind, I guess not. I got a really good friend here, Joe Matthews. Joe, just kind of wave your hand right there. Joe and I go way back. I've gotten my scripture. It's in Ecclesiastes where it talks about, it says, two are better than one, for when one falls, he's got someone to help him up, and woe to the person who doesn't because he doesn't have anybody to help him up. I got Joe's name written by that verse because he's a good friend. Anytime I preach, I call him and I tell him I'm going to preach. He says, are you going to give me $20? I said, sure, and he shows up. So I'm glad he's here this morning. This morning I want to talk about a different kind of gift. I know we've just all got done opening presents and having gifts and deciding what we want to take back and if we wanted it at all. You always hear the question this time of year, what do you buy someone or give someone who has everything? You got anybody like that in your family? I mean, you just, what do I buy them? I mean, they got whatever, they just go and get whatever they want. So let me ask you this. What did you give God this year? What gift could you possibly give someone who truly has everything? Well, here's what you give him. You give him the wow gift. Contagious. You give him the wow gift. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to see what Isaiah gave as a gift. Lord, this morning we just ask that you prepare our hearts. God, we know that every time we open your word, you've got a message for us. So we just pray that we're attentive, that we're receptive, and that we're just willing to hear what you say this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to set the spiritual temperature or the condition of the land at that time when he died. So turn just back a few pages. Look in chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. All right, here we go. Here's an ouch verse. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Look in verse 11 through 15. Talk about hypocrisy. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Surely God wouldn't do that, would he? Look in chapter 2. They were worldly. Look at this phrase. I like this, in a sense. Chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are filled with eastern ways. Okay, let's go back to chapter 6. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go. All right, folks, it's not rocket science. What did Isaiah give him? He gave himself. He gave himself. The cry went out, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, Here am I, send me. So what can you give God? What can you possibly give God who's got everything? You give him you. You're the wow gift. You're the wow gift. So let's take a closer look at this. But before we even look at the characteristics of this, I want to take a spiritual condition. I want to see what the temperature is spiritually in this room. How many of you truly want a closer relationship with God for 2016? Okay, half of you are spiritual. All right, here we go. Let's get the other half. How many think that their lives are filled with too many Eastern ways and want a life that is more Holy Spirit-led? Okay, some of you. Okay, I'm liking that. How many are truly ready to get serious with God? Andrew, get that hand up. Okay, I just want to make sure. How many are just raising your hands because I'm asking the question? Okay, thank you, Marshall. Okay, back to Isaiah. So what events led up to Isaiah giving himself to God? What are the characteristics of a person giving himself or herself to God? What do you need to possess in order to say, Here you go, God, here I am? Well, number one, you got to have vision. You got to see God. Now, this is where it gets tough. Because I'm not talking about what your perception of God is. Some people see God as a father figure, and I understand that. The scripture says we are to cry out, Abba, Father. I get that. Some people see God as a friend, as a buddy. Jesus talked about calling his disciples friends. I no longer call you servants. I'm going to call you a friend. So I understand that. I told the early service back in the day, there used to be a shirt. Some of you may remember this, unfortunately. There used to be a shirt that people would wear that says, Jesus is my homie. Well, I guess it just depends on what your perception is. Some people, unfortunately, and I have to admit, I've been guilty of this sometimes, see God as a policeman. They see him as a judge. They see him as someone who, when you break a law, you do the crime, you're going to pay the time. They're ready to be disciplined by God. So what is your perception? How is it that you see God? Most often we see Him as we would imagine Him to be. And Isaiah probably did that too, until he really saw Him. And how did Isaiah see Him? He saw Him as a holy God. You know, folks, this is something we don't talk a whole lot about in the church today. God is holy. He is a holy God, and He desires for His people to be holy. There is no way I can describe what Isaiah saw. That's like a blind man coming in here. We got a good-looking crowd today. I mean, Andrew, you look marvelous. You look good. We just have a good-looking group. That's like telling a blind man to come in here and tell how good-looking you guys are. He couldn't do it. There's no way I can describe. There you go. You're my man back there. There's no way he could do that. There's no way we can describe what Isaiah saw. I mean, how could you describe that? But what I can do is tell you what happened to other people in the Bible that saw a holy God and how it affected them. In Exodus 34:29, Moses was talking to God, and it says that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. God's glory, his countenance was so bright that his face just illuminated. That's how bright it was when he saw God. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19:11, stood in a cave on a mountainside, was wanting to see God. He was up there boo-hooing. And God was passed by in the cave, by the cave. And when Elijah saw him, he just wrapped his face in his mantle's clothes and wept. And then, I want you to see this because I like this. Look at Job chapter 42. This is the very end of Job. Everybody knows about Job. We've all had Job experiences, right? Look in Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Took a long time for Job to see that, didn't it? Took a long time for him to see that. But the scriptures also present God in other ways that we can relate to. If you want a glimpse of God, look in his word at how he's described. In Judges chapter 6, verses 22, Gideon is getting ready to go into battle when he's kind of questioning whether or not he should be doing what he's doing and where he's supposed to go and who he's supposed to fight and who he's supposed to get the victory from and so on. And an angel of the Lord talks to him, and then he said, God, if this is you, have you ever done that? If this is you, well, God showed him that it was him. And Gideon built an altar, and listen to what he called the altar. The Lord is peace. Now, he went from being anxious, being worried, be upset, not knowing he was going to fight, if they're going to win, what he's supposed to do, if it was even God. And then suddenly, he builds an altar that says, the Lord is peace. Joe was talking the last couple of weeks about peace. You know, in my Christian life, I probably wouldn't have said this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but there is nothing better than having peace. When you wake up in the morning and you can just, there is nothing that can beat that. And in this day and age, with all the anxiety and all the things that's going on and all the things we have to deal with, especially Christmas time, come on, I know it's Christmas, but is anybody like me? I mean, it's fast pace, it's family and family and more family, and it's just crazy. I remember talking to somebody at the store, and they said, are you ready for Christmas? And I go, yeah, I am. You know why? Because I'm not going to get bent out of shape over it. You know, Christmas is supposed to be a joyful time, a good time to relax and enjoy it. But man, you ever talk to some people? You ever watch people shop? They're on a mission. I mean, they call them the destroyer shoppers. That's mine! Man, I don't want no part of that. I want peace. The Lord is peace. In Psalm 99:8, I like this. Talking about the patriarchs, the psalmist says, he is to them the God who forgives. I tell you what, I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm ashamed of. I'm embarrassed about. Joe talked about last week, I think, if how would you like it if you came in and up on the screen was everything you'd ever done. Just in the last week, how would we feel? Folks, I've done stuff that that still affects me to this day. But you know what? And there's been people who has not forgiven. Flat has told me, ain't going to happen. That's fine. But you know what? I know a God who forgives. I know a God who forgives. In fact, that's His name. To them, He is the God who forgives. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how far you've fallen. I forgive you. Wow. Wow. All right, here's my favorite. Joshua 5:13. Joshua has now taken over as commander of the Israelites. Moses has been taken away. God took him. Took his life. And now Joshua's in charge. Anxiety, worried, thousands of people getting ready to lead into battle, getting ready to go in the promised land. Joshua's ready to go. He's ready to do it. He's standing there. He's ready to go into battle. They're starting to march. And then suddenly up in the path, he sees a figure. And this figure is standing there with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua says, ready to fight, ready to do battle. Are you for us or are you for our adversary? Of course, we know who it was. The figure said, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Folks, I want to tell you, it's nice to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulties you're having, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your job, whether you've gotten fired, whether you've got bill collectors calling, whether your kids are a mess, whether, I don't care what you're going through, whether you're going through addictions, whether you're struggling with things that you shouldn't be struggling with, I don't know what it is. But the thing about it is, it's nice to know that we can look up in the path ahead of us and we can see God standing there with a sword in His hand saying, I'm with you, I'm going to fight for you, bring it, let's do it. That's the God we serve. That's the God that we know. That's the God that we can see. So we see God as the Scriptures describe Him, like Isaiah did, and what does that result in? Well, look at number two, humility. Look at Isaiah's response. All he could say is, woe is me. He saw, and then he just said, woe is me. Now, I'm thinking up to this point in time, Isaiah is probably not that bad of a guy. He was a holy man. He was a prophet. Isaiah is quoted more times in the New Testament than any other prophet. 22 times. He saw visions of God, and we've already seen what the spiritual condition was like in the land at that time. They were hypocritical, they didn't know God, they were worldly. So compared to everybody else, Isaiah probably wasn't too bad of a guy. He probably looked like a saint. Until he saw a holy God. See, we're too good about comparing ourselves to other people. I'm not as bad as that person. I know I'm not as bad as Andrew. I'm not as bad as this person over here. Oh, well, I can't believe she did that. I'm not that bad. I mean, I have my few things here and there, but I'm not that bad. Folks, I'm telling you, when you see God as Isaiah saw Him and all His holiness and glory, the only thing you should be able to say is, woe is me. It will truly overwhelm you. It will truly make you take a different look within your soul and see yourself like Isaiah did. It will truly humble you. And I'm not talking about the Christian humility here. We like to fancy things up and put little cute little sayings on Christian character. We say things like, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Oh, how sweet. And that's good. You need to think of yourself less. But that's not the humility that Isaiah was talking about here. It's talking about coming face to face with God, seeing Him as He really is in all His glory and holiness, and being so overwhelmed that all you can say is, I'm not worried about that person, I'm not worried about that person, I don't care what he did, she did, that. All I can see is, man, have I blown it, I am terrible, I'm just not worthy, I'm disgusting, woe is me. I live in a lie, I am a man with unclean lips, and I live in the midst of the people with unclean lips. I feel terrible. Because he was comparing himself to a holy God. It will definitely make you humble. You know, I have to admit, when things are going bad and circumstances are tough, it's easy to have that woe is me attitude. For about 5 months, I shared this with the first service. I was without a job for 5 months. Still continued to come to church, and we had faith group meetings, but it was tough. I mean, I went 5 months without a paycheck. Luckily, my wife was still working. So that helped, but it was a difficult time. Probably one of the most difficult times of my spiritual life. I even wrote in my journal, God, I'm going to change my name to Cain. I feel like there's a mark on me. I feel like I'm just, what's going on here? My wife got on ChristianMingle.com and was looking for a sugar daddy. I thought she was going to leave me. Thank goodness I did the dishes and cooked and stuff like that, you know, for her before she came home. I thought she was going to kick me out of the house. Every day she'd come in, I'd go, here, honey, here's your dinner. I wasn't working. What else am I going to do? They don't even show any soap operas anymore. I got rid of cable. I mean, what was I supposed to do? I cooked. You know, hamburger helper, that type of stuff. It was tough. It was a difficult time. So difficult that I was just about ready to give up. And I remember, Ann Frederick is here this morning, so I'm going to talk about her. We came into service one day. Cindy and I was having a disagreement on the way to church. It was probably because I wasn't working. And like I said, I think she did find a sugar daddy. She just hadn't, you know, sent sin button yet. Had all lined up. I told her, I said, find me one too. I'm all right with that. So we had a little disagreement on the work, you know, on the way to church. And so I was in a foul mood. I was already mad at the whole world. And I was mad at God. And I didn't have a job at bill collectors. I just quit answering my phone. Someone said, I called you. I go, if I don't know the number, I'm not answering it. You ever been there? I mean, Bill Clinton, they're persistent. They call more than your family does. Came to church, and I was not in a good mood. And Joe's up here preaching, and he said, all right, everybody, let's get up and greet one another. Didn't feel like it. Wasn't in the mood. Didn't want to. Don't want to come up and shake hands and put a smile on my face and say, oh, everything's just peachy. Because it wasn't. Woe is me. And I got up and I walked out those doors. I wasn't going to stay here and shake hands with you guys. You guys were smiling. You were enjoying yourselves. You had peace. You had jobs. I went right out those doors and I was going to run. I was making a run for it. And guess who I ran into? Ann Frederick. She's in our faith group. And she could tell I was a little perturbed. We walked out there, and she said, is everything okay? And that's all it took. That's all it took. I started crying like a baby. No. I'm sorry, I didn't say no. No. I watched too many soap operas. I know how they cry. And she put her arm around me, and she goes, Eddie, she goes, do you believe that God is in control? Do you have faith that he's able to do what you want him to do? Do you believe God? And I'm going, yes, yes. And then it hit me. It was like the Grinch whose heart grew 3 times bigger. It was like my voice was saying yes, but my actions were saying no. No, I didn't believe God was in control. I didn't believe God could do it. I didn't trust him. And it just kind of hit me. It was coming out of my mouth, yes, but my actions proved otherwise. And then I realized, and it was about the last 2 weeks, I even shared it with the faith group. I said, you know what? This is not, I said in my journal, God, this is not about me looking for a job at all, is it? This is a spiritual battle. It's about you and me. And thing, it just, it, we talked about that peace I was talking about earlier. Suddenly that woe is me attitude kind of left me a little bit. So you know what? When we're down and out and we're in the dumps and things aren't going so well, it's easy to just have that woe is me attitude. But let me ask you this. What about when things are going great? What about when things are just fantastic? What about when the job is great, when you get a raise, when your kids are on the honor roll, your bill collectors call and say, don't worry about it, we'll just write them off. Hallelujah, can I have a what? What? I mean, that would be great. When your health is good, when the Royals win the World Series, when the Chiefs beat Denver, sorry, Mike, when Denver beats the Chiefs. When you've had a disagreement with your wife at work and on the way home, you're driving and you pull up in the driveway and you go in and you open the door and she greets you with a big hug and says, I'm sorry, honey, I was only thinking of myself. Contagious. When all is good, it's kind of hard to have a woe is me attitude, isn't it? Feeling pretty good. You know why? Because we're looking at things with Eastern ways eyes and not at a holy God. Because when you look at a holy God and you see a holy God as he is, as Isaiah saw him, I don't care what you're going through over here or what you're going through over here. You may be down here. You may be up there. It does not matter. God is still God. Amen? He is a holy God. And he wants me to reflect that as well. We need to quit looking at God in Eastern ways eyes. I'm telling you this morning, when you truly see God, when you see his holiness, it will change the way you look at everything else. Your vertical vision will affect your horizontal vision. What you see up here will affect what you see out there. You will look at your spouse different. You will look at your kids different. You will look at your job different. You will look at your circumstances different. You will look at your trials and your tribulations different. It took me 5 months for me to realize and say, this is not about no job at all. This is about me and you. You will look at things differently when you see a holy God. Your vertical vision will affect your horizontal vision. You will see things in a whole new perspective. We need to quit putting God in a little bitty box and looking at spiritual things as we would perceive them to be or how we would describe them or understand them or explain them. We want to know everything. How does God do this? Well, this is how God does it. We have a guy, and I like to listen to him. He's on Bot Radio, the Bible Answer Man. That guy is smart. I've never heard him not answer a question. We want to know everything. We have to explain everything. Last Sunday, we went to my grandson's baptism. He got baptized. My son is an associate pastor at Crossway in Derby, Crossway Baptist Church. My grandson got saved, and they were going to baptize him. And they sent out the text to everybody, wants all the family to be there, and all that kind of stuff, yada, yada, yada. And so we went last Sunday. And boy, we were all excited, all that kind of stuff. And then, I forgot to tell you. Well, he got saved, but I forgot to tell you, he's 4 years old. Well, that wasn't quite the reaction that I had. Because, see, in wanting to know everything and how God works and what the Bible says, I've even got a verse in the Old Testament. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. I got in the margin of my Bible the age of accountability. Because according to what I interpret, the age of accountability is anywhere between 6 to 7 years of age. Okay, if you're going to get saved, you got to know what sin is. You got to know, you know, why Jesus died on the cross and, you know, the atonement and all this kind of thing. I mean, you got to know all that stuff, right? You're not going to know that at 4 years of age. There ain't no way you can get saved at 4 years of age. Sidney and I look at each other and go, "You getting baptized? At four? Are you kidding me? That just doesn't comprehend with my intellectual." And yes, I do have some of that sometimes. So we went and then we heard the testimony. And this is what my son said. He said the same things that I was saying. You know what? Braylon, we were talking about him, a little kid during the week, and something happened, and this kid did something wrong, and Braylon was kind of talking about that. And he said, and Branson said, well, someday, Braylon, when you get saved, blah, blah, and he started going, and he said, Daddy, I want to get saved now. And of course, my son goes, oh, well, I know, Braylon. I know you want to get saved. But when you get older, when you get bigger, when you can comprehend, when you can understand, you can get saved. Braylon says, I want to get saved now. So my son, okay, all right, let's do this. Let's go through the motions. Knelt down, started saying a prayer. He dumbed it down. I don't like to use that term, but he kidded it down, okay? And he didn't say anything about Jesus coming to your heart, and he didn't say anything. He just, Lord, I don't even know if he even used the word sinner. Why do you tell a four-year-old, quit doing drugs and don't gangbang? And I mean, what? I don't know. Don't sin. So he's talking to him, and my son says, now my son's skeptical too. I mean, he's kind of, he's four. He's been praying for 4 years for him to be saved. He told us that. So they're kneeled down, they're praying, these guys' eyes closed. And my son said he just kind of wanted to take a peek and see what Brandon was doing while they were praying. And he said Brandon was just standing there looking up. And he repeated after what my son said to him. When they got done, my son, still being skeptical, said, okay, Braylon, and he said, it was for my benefit more than anything. Okay, Braylon, do you feel anything? Do you feel anything different? Is there something just different about what we just did? And Braylon just kind of looked at him and went, yeah. Branson goes, still wanting to be justified and wanting to know, because we want to know, right? We just can't take it by faith. We got to know. He says, what, son? What do you feel? Braylon put his hand on his heart. He goes, my heart. And Branson goes, what? What about your heart? And he said, Jesus. You know, that kid could be the next Elijah. He could be the next John the Baptist, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham. He could be the next Joe Voss. I don't know, but his word tells me my thoughts are not like his thoughts. My ways are not like his ways. My way says a four-year-old doesn't get saved. But I'm here to tell you, if he can call Samuel from his mama's womb or tell Jeremiah that he knew him before he was born and make John the Baptist leap in his mama's belly when he heard the name of Jesus, you don't think he couldn't save a four-year-old little boy? That's preaching. That'll preach right there. That's a message right there. I need that. Because I'm going to be honest. No, don't think he can do it. Thank God I'm not him. Thank God I'm not calling the shots. Thank God my ways are not his ways and my thoughts his thoughts. Because that wouldn't have happened. Because I got a verse that says age of accountability should be this certain age. Can't get saved at 4 years of age. I don't know. God does. God does. Who knows what this kid's going to be? Is he still going to be a four-year-old boy? I'm sure he is. Don't we still do four-year-old things? My wife says, I'm a kid all the time. How would you like to go home with me? What's the next characteristics of someone giving themselves to God as a wow gift? Hearing. And I'm going to spend about 90 seconds on this. Hearing. You've got to hear the voice of God. I was watching the 700 Club, and there was a Christian author on there who wrote a book about hearing God and hearing his voice and so on. And the person who was interviewing them said, how do we hear from God? How do you hear God's voice? And I'll never forget what she said. I got it in the back of my Bible. I write things back here. I like to write the little sayings that you hear. See if you guys remember this one. Prosperity, having enough to do what God wants you to do. That came from Joe Voss. Who said this? If this is the worst thing that happens to me, it will be okay. Joe called me up one day when I was going through my 5 months towards the end, and he said, how's it going? And I said, well, if this is the worst thing that's going to happen, I can't stand it. Joplin from Crossway, there's no such thing as a victory without a battle. So I like to write little things down here. I wrote what she said. How do we hear from God? How do we hear the voice of God? And here's what she said. Sometimes you have to turn down the voices of life. Enough said. Sometimes we have to turn down the voices of life. There is way too much out there that we're listening to. And we need to turn it down. Because when we're listening to all that, thank goodness I just caught my tongue, junk. We're not hearing the voice of God. So what's the result of someone seeing God as a holy God, as he is, when a person is humble and when you turn down the voices of life so that you can hear the cry go out? What's the next step? number four, is presenting yourself to Him. Here's what Isaiah did. We're talking about the wow gift. It's presenting yourself to Him. Now, I'm not talking about surrendering. I'm not talking about sacrificing. I'm not talking about giving in. I'm not talking about volunteering. I'm talking about giving yourself completely and wholly to God. God, here's my checkbook. Here's my stopwatch. Here's my car keys. Here's my relationship with my spouse. Here's my relationship with my kids. Here's my relationship at work. Anything and everything that I do, I'm going to give to You. Any way that I can show You that I'm all in, here I am. That's what I'm doing. I am presenting myself. Here I am. Not that person. Not that person. You said who's going to go? I'm stepping forward. Here I am. I'm giving You Me. That's presenting yourself to God. And what happens when you give yourself to God? When you present yourself to God? He's going to pat you on the head. He's going to give you the Spock blessing. Live long and prosper. And He's going to send you on your way. Have fun. Go on. You're blessed. No. He's going to use you. He's going to use you. He's going to put you in service. He's going to put you in circumstances and situations to where you can have an impact on others. It's taken me a long time to realize this world doesn't revolve around 80 Sears. It's not about what I can get out of it. It's about what I can do for Him to others. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. He wants to use it. When Isaiah said, here I am, God didn't just say, that's good. No. He said, go. It's about service. And I will say this. You've heard the saying, God prepares those He calls. Some scholars say that when the seraphim touched Isaiah's lips with the hot coal and declaring his iniquity had been taken away to sin purge, it was a preparation for service. His humility brought Him low. God's grace, cleansing, and forgiveness, and His power lifted Him up, equipped Him, and prepared Him to go into service for God. Now, you might say, well, I'm not good enough to go into service for God. You got that right. You ain't. Pardon my English. You're not. But you know what? When you see God, as Isaiah did, and when you humble yourself before Him, and you hear His voice, and you present yourself to Him, and He takes the coal, and He puts it on your lips, and He forgives you of your sins, and He cleanses you, and He equips you, and He prepares you, then you can get up, and you can go do what He wants you to do. Then you can. It's only through His grace and His power. It's not on you. It's not what you can do. It's what you do through Him. He's going to work through you to others. All right, Brother Eddie, I'm pumped, I'm on fire, I'm motivated, I'm ready to go. What's God want me to do? He wants me to be a pastor, right? He wants to be I'm going to be an evangelist. He wants to send me to Africa, and I'm going to go and work with the pygmies. He wants me to join up with Tim and Ruth Harder and go down to Oklahoma City and help them with the homeless people. He wants me to lead a faith group. I'm ready to go. What do you want me to do? You know, we think God calls certain people for the big things. Oh, he's in full-time ministry. What is full-time ministry? It's what you're in. It's not Joe Voss, what he does. It's not Mike McClard. It's not Marshall. It's not Eddie. It's not Andrew. We label people. What's Andrew? Oh, he's a pianist. Well, what's Marshall do? Oh, well, he's an elder. What's Eddie do? Well, he just shows up. You know what? God calls all of us for the same thing. Hear that? He calls all of us for the same thing. Well, what would that be? I tell you what, Solomon said it best. Read the book of Solomon. 12 chapters, easy to read, because 11 plus chapters, it talks about all his accomplishments, what he did. I got more horses than anybody. I got more chariots than anybody. I got more gold than anybody. I got more vineyards than anybody. I've got more women than anybody. I've got. But I don't have peace. So at the very end, you know what he says? So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You know what he says? Fear God, keep his commandments. Wow. How simple is that? Fear God, and keep his commandments. Paul says, in everything that you do, do all to the glory of God. We think going to work and going and doing our piddly chores at work is just an inconvenience. I'm telling you, that's the mission field. Right there. How you talk, how you act. You say, I can't be a Joe Voss. God doesn't want you to be a Joe Voss. That's why we have Joe Voss. Well, I can't play the piano like Andrew. I call him Fingers. You got magic fingers. God doesn't want you to be Andrew. That's why we have Andrew. If you're Andrew, he'd be up here half the time. Well, I can't preach like Eddie Sears. Well, thank goodness. The only time they have me preach is when 10 other people tell them no. I told the first service, the last time I preached, they didn't even tape it. Eddie's preaching, eh. In fact, when I preach, I'm looking at the watch myself. Don't need to preach like Eddie Sears. That's why they have Eddie Sears. Love him or hate him. Be you. That's what God wants. Hand somebody a card. Contagious. So what's God want from you? What can you perform for him? What can you do? He wants you to be a voice. He wants you to be an example. He wants you to be light into the world. He wants you to be salt. There was a pastor on the radio that made this comment and it just blew my mind. Made me think. They were talking about the end times and they were talking about the rapture. And here's what he said. When the rapture takes place, and it will, and all the Christians are taken out, when that happens, will the world even notice? Wow. You know, 5 months ago, if the world saw me and I was taken out, they wouldn't have noticed. Man. Will the world even notice? Do I drive like everybody else on the road? Please don't ask my wife. She's already sitting back there going, oh, yes. He cut me off. That's my parking space. How come you're on my bumper? Me, me, me. Yeah, I act like that. Don't we, Joe? When I'm at work or with friends, and maybe some of our non-Christian friends, am I laughing at the same things that they are? Am I watching things on TV, going to movies, or listening to music that everybody else has? You know, and in the 5 months that I was without a job, one of the things that we had to let go was, well, I'm sorry, they took it, was cable. Don't have cable. Now I got MeTV and I Dream with Jeannie and Get TV, Gunsmoke and Gilligan's Island and Leave It to Beaver. And I mean, how can you get corrupt watching that stuff? You know, oh, come on, Wally. I mean, I don't know. But you know what? I don't watch TV as much anymore. I haven't hardly seen a football game. Well, we got 3, 10, and 12, so if they show a game on 12 or on, you know, I can watch that. But I haven't watched any bowl games. I haven't watched basketball. I just haven't watched that stuff. And you know what? Don't really miss it. I don't really miss it. Do I really make an impact on others, or am I impacted? I've been impacted. Because I don't know if I really make a difference. And would the world know if I was gone? Or if this whole room was gone? I don't know. God wants you to go out. He says go. There's a saying that all athletes, when they're interviewed, and I hate to watch a game, especially one that just like ended in the last seconds of a game, because the first thing they want to do is run over there with a microphone and stick it underneath an athlete's nose. And they always ask the same stupid old questions. All right, there was 30 seconds to go, and you're on the 20-yard line, and you'd marched all the way down there, and just before you got in the end zone, what was going through your head? What were you thinking? How in the world did you win this game? And, of course, the athletes, they're not stupid. They say they give the same old answers. But here's one phrase that they always use. I kind of like it. How did you do that? We just do what we do. We just do what we do. So as a Christian, as a believer, as someone who has seen God, someone who has humbled himself and said, woe is me, someone who hears God because you've turned down the voices of life, and someone who has presented themselves and said, here I am, God. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. Here's all I'm going to say to you. Do what you do. Just do what you do. That's the wow gift. That's the wow gift. I want to play a video. It's going to take about 5 minutes. Show it in the first service. I saw this, and first time I saw it, I just cried like a baby. You know, so many times we think that we have to be here spiritually, we have to be there, we have to physically be capable, and, you know, God can use me when I'm ready. You know, I'm just not ready right now. I'm not in a good place. That's a bunch of baloney. That's just a bunch of baloney. God wants to use you. And you're going to see this video, and it's an amazing video. This is a crack baby. This is a crack baby who's 100% blind. Let's go ahead and roll that.
Sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Christopher Duffley was born in May of 2001. He's actually the son of my youngest brother and his girlfriend. And when I received the phone call from my brother, I found out that he was born at only 26 weeks, 1 pound, 12 ounces. So he's very premature and he was in critical condition. And there were several nights that we were told that Christopher wouldn't make it through the night. And at that point, I prayed for Christopher and I just asked God to be with my brother and to do what his will would be. And for a long time, I had no contact with my brother, really didn't know what happened to Christopher. And all of a sudden, my heart was moved. Where was my nephew? What happened to him? And on my first phone call to social services, the gentleman knew about Christopher, and he indeed was in foster care. He was totally blind. He had been born with cocaine in his system, and he had a host of other medical issues. My first response to that, or my first feeling to that, was fear. I prayed very intently, and I begged the Lord. I said, could you just show me what you would want? And he did. He answered in my heart. He told me, do not be afraid, that I will take care of everything. We've had challenges and we've had joys. And one of the greatest joys was to hear Christopher make noise, sing, and keep beat. He really didn't talk till about first grade. So when he sang, it was really neat. And it wasn't shortly around that time that we found out that Christopher had perfect pitch. And he started to do remarkable things. And what a joy and what a prophecy that God gave us, that these tears would come, and they come out of great joy. And when Christopher sings, open the eyes of my heart, he teaches us to not see everything with our eyes, but to see things the way God sees things, through our heart.
And indeed, I'm singing that today.
That's a wow gift. I'm going to do something different. It's 3 minutes till noon, so just chill for a second. I wasn't going to do this. I didn't do it in the first service. Reluctantly, didn't want to do it. Talked to God. Said, God, talk to me. Want to hear? And I thought, you know, it's kind of like the four-year-old thing. You know, if I do something like this, people are going to be judgmental. They're going to quit. They're going to be skeptical. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. And then I thought, you know, who cares? So I want to do something that's going to be very unusual. And it might even make you uncomfortable a little bit. But there's a reason for it. And I'll tell you that in just a second. So here's what I want to do. Visitors, you don't have to do this. I don't expect you guys, if you've been coming here, if you just came here today, and Joe, I know you got lots of money, but don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about giving anything today. If you've been coming for a week or two, I don't want you to feel obligated to do anything like this. But I want everybody to stand. Just stand right where you're at. Okay, here we go. This is going to be tough. If you've got a $10 or a $20 bill in your pocket, or you could write a check for a $10 or $20, stay standing. The rest of you just sit down. Dang, I thought there'd be more standing than that, but you guys that are standing, first of all, you are wealthier than 80% of the population, just to let you know. Heard a guy on the radio said that if you've got $20 in your pocket and a roof over your head and food on your table, you're wealthier than 80% of the population. So of those who are standing, this is where it gets tough. If you're willing to let go of that $10 or $20 bill, willingly, stay standing. Okay, everybody sit down. If you know somebody in this church, maybe they've had some hard times. Maybe they've gone through a difficult time. One of the things that we don't do as a church enough is reach out and help when we know that there's a need. And I want to tell you, for 5 months, it was tough. The church helped me. People from my faith group helped me. I remember a few years ago when we lived over here on Meridian, I came out one day, and we were going through a tough time as usual, and someone had taken an envelope and stuck a $100 bill inside that envelope and put it underneath my windshield. To this day, I do not know who that was. I've had people give me a 20. And you just don't understand when you're going through a tough time and you don't know where your next bill is going to be paid, what a $10 bill or a $20 bill can do. You just don't know. I know it sounds crazy and ridiculous, but you just don't know. So what I'm going to do is, and I'm going to give you an opportunity, I'm going to preach. I'm going to practice what I preach. Because it was tough for 5 months, but thank God I've got a job now. I got a paycheck. And you know what? I've always said, didn't know if I believed it or not, but I said, God bless me so I can bless others. So here's what I'm going to do today. I want to give somebody a wow gift. There's 50 bucks in here. And what I encourage you to do before you leave today, you know of somebody in here that needs some help. I know you know. I thought about giving the mic and you just come up and say, I want to help this person. But that might make you feel uncomfortable. And I'm just going to be honest, I don't really care what you think. Because it's more important that this person gets this than what you think, whether or not it should have happened or not. And after I sat there, I struggled. But after I watched that again, I've seen that a number of times. I said, no, I want to do it. If somebody doesn't like it, tell Joe Voss on me. Don't call me back to preach again. That's fine. I'm not going to rob somebody of that of a blessing. So if you know of somebody, you've got that in your pocket and you can help somebody, do not leave this building today without going up to that person and saying, you know what? I've known about your situation. I know you're having a tough time. I'm praying for you. Come on. Sometimes $50 is better than a prayer. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, prayer doesn't pay the bills. I appreciate them. But if you know of somebody like that, please go up to that person and say, God's laid it upon my heart to let you go buy a hamburger, to let you go put some gas in your car. Maybe this might go towards your phone bill. Maybe this... Dave McCullough this morning was talking about out in his yard doing some piling up some wood, and a little 12-year-old boy came up and said, Mister, you need some help? He said, yeah, I do. He goes, why are you asking me? He goes, well, I need to raise some money for my grandma. I want to buy her a Christmas present. So Dave said, this guy was the hardest worker he'd ever seen in his life. Apparently he wasn't a teenager and he hadn't found video games yet. I don't know. And this kid, he said, this kid was just helping him like you would not believe. And so when they got done, he said, he's taking that wheelbarrow. Dave says, so how much do you need? He goes, oh, mister, he goes, I just need $5 or $10. I want to get something for my grandma. Dave said he gave him $20. He said, here's $10 for the present. And here's just $10 because. Man, you know, so many opportunities pass us by. One of my favorite verses in the book of Acts, it says that they all came together and they sold their possessions and they shared them. So nobody had a need. We are far from that. So this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to act on what you believe. And if you know of somebody in here before you leave today, or if you want to do it now, we can do that, but I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I'm not uncomfortable. I want to flat just say, you know what? God's given me a paycheck this last couple of months, and I thank God for it. And I'm not where I was 5 months ago. But you know what? Anna, I know you've struggled. I know you've had a rough year. I know you're a single mom. And that's tough right there. God just put it upon my heart to give you $50. Now, was that so bad? Let's stand. Father, what a great day you've given us. Thank you for talking to us through your word, for being able to see the video, to see how you can a blind crack baby singing, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, he sees you in more ways than what I've seen you. And Lord, an opportunity for us to be able to share. I know this is Christmas. I know it's tough. I know we've spent money elsewhere. But God, I'm just asking right now that you would speak to the hearts of some people. And if there is anybody else in here, God, that you've laid on the hearts of a person, that you know that they know they've struggled, you know that they could just use even $10. You would be surprised where $10 goes, even as cheap as gas is now. It might almost give you half a tank. Just something little, God. I just pray, God, that you would speak to that person, that they go up to that person, give them a hug and say, you know what? I care for you. I love you. And God wants you to have this. It's not me. It's not me giving this to you. God wants you to have this. I just pray that you speak to that person. We love you, Lord. We know you want us to serve you and worship you and to present ourselves to you and be used by you. And if we can be used by simply giving somebody a $10 bill, God, that's all right. Thank us for that. We're just thankful for that opportunity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. May we leave this building today and go out different because of it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If anybody wants to pray, if you want to come up and have prayer, we've had people who will come up and pray with you. Other than that, God loves you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And don't rob yourself of a blessing.